Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a fascinating trio of topics. They might seem unconnected at first glance, but, well, as we explore, you might find some interesting threads running through them.
Definitely sounds intriguing. What have we got?
We're diving into the ongoing tensions involving Iran, the heated domestic political stuff around a critical spending bill here in the U.S., and also the big disruptions we're seeing in air travel.
Okay, quite a mix. And we've got some varied sources you shared. A YouTube discussion on U.S.-Iran relations.
Right.
An ABC News report on that White House GOP spending bill meeting.
High stakes there.
Yeah, and another ABC piece on the air traffic control shortages. So quite the range.
Our aim, as always, is to kind of go beyond just the headlines, really get to the core of these issues for you.
Right. To try and offer a clearer understanding of each situation and maybe, like you said, find some connections.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with the complexities of the U.S.-Iran relations. Relationship. This YouTube discussion seems like a good place to start.
Yeah, it jumps right in. Features some very strong statements from an Iranian figure named Kaim, and it's recent, posted May 17th.
So very current. What kind of statements are we talking about?
Well, the clip includes chants like death to America, death to England, death to Israel. Pretty intense rhetoric.
Wow. Yeah, that's direct. And the commentary in the clip, they mention this isn't exactly new, right?
Exactly. One person points out it's been consistent pretty much since 1979.
Which makes you think, the idea being, you know, maybe take these statements at face value when someone tells you who they are, sort of thing.
That definitely raises that crucial point about interpreting intent. And the discussion then moves to the different ways people think we should deal with Iran.
The classic dilemma. Engagement versus
what?
Non-negotiation.
Pretty much. On one side, the argument is, you know, bringing Iran into the global community. Maybe that moderates things.
Uh-huh.
On the other, there's this belief that the regime's core ideology just makes meaningful negotiation impossible.
And you can see how that basic disagreement just stalls everything, especially when you talk about a nuclear deal.
Absolutely. There's real concern there based on the past agreement about cash flowing into Iran and how it might be used.
As
questions of trust, verification.
Yeah, all that comes flooding back.
And then it gets into really sensitive territory. Regime change.
Ah.
They mentioned the U.S. involvement back in the 50s, acknowledging its complex, controversial history.
And the more recent examples? Libya, Iraq.
Right. They don't shy away from the difficult outcomes there. But the argument is also made, perhaps the current situation is so bad, maybe any alternative in Iran is better. It's really stark calculation.
A huge gamble. And they bring up specific threats, too.
Yeah, they mentioned alleged assassination plots against President Trump, attacks on U.S. military personnel, presenting it as clear evidence of, you know, hostile intent.
And the U.S. red line on uranium enrichment is still key.
Presented as non-negotiable, the fear, obviously, is weaponization.
Of course.
But importantly, the clip does add nuance. It emphasizes that many Iranians probably don't support the most radical elements. It's not a monolith.
Right. It's a whole country, a complex society, which leads to the big question, how do you handle it without starting a war?
Exactly. The discussion touches on things like economic isolation, supporting internal resistance. It's a very delicate balance.
Tricky.
And then there's this fascinating bit where they discuss the ideology itself, specifically martyrdom and the 72 virgins idea.
Oh, right. That came up from a young girl's question about what women get in heaven.
Yes. And the explanation given was, well, something their heart hasn't desired, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, framed as equal, but maybe less tangible.
Interesting. How do they contrast that?
With a biblical perspective, citing 1 Corinthians, it talks about the riches of heaven in similarly abstract terms, unseen, unheard, beyond imagination for those who love God.
So it really highlights these different cultural and, well, religious frameworks, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Big differences in values. Though one commentator did make an interesting point about a certain directness in Iranian communication. Even when it's hostile, it's often unambiguous.
No hidden meanings there, perhaps. Okay, let's shift gears completely. Domestic politics now. This ABC News report on the spending bill meeting.
Yeah, moving from international tensions to internal U.S. political battles. A critical meeting between the White House and some GOP holdouts.
Sounds like classic Washington drama. President Trump, Speaker Mike Johnson try and get their own party members on board for this, what are they calling it, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act?
That's the one. And you've got this group of Republicans, the holdouts, who are worried. Worried about the deficit, the national debt.
And the White House is playing hardball.
Seems like it. Warning of betrayal if the bill fails. The report details what's in it, extending the 2017 tax cuts.
Okay.
Getting rid of federal income tax on tips and overtime.
Hmm.
Nearly $50 billion for the border wall. And then over $1.5 trillion in spending cuts. It's a big package.
A very big package. And those cuts are significant, hitting things like food assistance, Medicaid. That could affect millions.
That's what the report suggests, yeah. Which explains some opposition. But the hardliners, the ones holding out, they want steeper cuts.
Even more. Why?
Their main argument is that even with these cuts, the bill adds trillions to the debt over 10 years. So it highlights that internal party tension. Wanting tax cuts, but also fiscal responsibility. It's a tough circle to square.
Yeah, you can see the conflict. So even with Speaker Johnson wanting a vote, there's this internal fight.
Exactly. It really shows how hard consensus building is, especially on fundamental things like spending. It makes you wonder how these divisions affect tackling other big issues.
Good point. Okay, third source, another critical area, air traffic control. This shortage and the impact on flights.
Right. And this ABC News report paints a pretty concerning picture. Especially with Memorial Day travel coming up.
Yeah, you mentioned Newark Liberty. Mm-hmm. Sounds like chaos there. Radar outages, radio failures, delays, cancellations.
It does. And the specifics are alarming. Radar screens going black. Losing radio contact with pilots.
That's not good.
No. These aren't just inconveniences. They're potential safety issues. And it's not just Newark. It affects the whole system.
And the infrastructure itself is old. I think the transportation secretary mentioned that.
Very old. Some parts decades old. Copper wires, radar from the 80s. Hmm. It's kind of shocking for such critical infrastructure.
It really is. Are there other incidents mentioned?
Yeah, communication loss near Denver, a near miss in Chicago, and sadly, that deadly collision back in January. Hmm. It underscores that safety needs constant attention, and maybe there are systemic weaknesses.
And the root cause seems to be this controller shortage. A long-term thing.
Decades long, apparently. It goes way back. And it's not just hiring. The training is incredibly tough. FAA Academy in Oklahoma City.
Hard to get into. Hard to graduate.
Very. Stark numbers. Less than 1 in 10 applicants get in. Only about 70% of those graduate. Then more wash out during on-the-job training.
Wow. That's intense. I mean, the pay is good, right? Over $130,000 on average.
Yeah, pay is good. But the pressure is immense. And those low success rates in training, you have to wonder if the pipeline itself has issues.
So it's like a perfect storm, understaffing for years, this incredibly difficult training, and then add outdated equipment. I read Newark still uses floppy disks for some things.
Floppy disks, yeah. The report mentioned that specifically for Newark. So you can see why the FAA had to cut back flights there.
Right.
Just to manage the risk. But it's obviously not a real solution.
Oh, just a Band-Aid.
So bringing it all together,
mm-hmm.
We've gone from that stark rhetoric around Iran
right.
to these deep political fights over spending here at home,
mm-hmm.
and now these critical infrastructure problems hitting air travel. Three very different areas, but all showing significant stress points.
It really does give you a lot to think about, doesn't it? When you look at these challenges together, the international tensions, these fierce domestic policy fights, the crumbling infrastructure... You have to wonder, are there underlying factors connecting these seemingly separate crises? And what does it all suggest about where we are right now, globally and domestically? It seems like a lot of long simmering issues are boiling over at once.
That's definitely something worth pondering.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for taking this deep dive with us today.